What is happening, people of the interwebs? It's Todd Frazier, and we are back with another episode of the Jesus and Coffee Show. I'm really glad that you're here. I've got my coffee, I've got my Jesus, and we're going to just get into it and talk about Jesus while we, drink some coffee, because that's the thing that we do on this show. So, things are crazy. Since we talked last, things have not necessarily gotten any better. I don't know about you, but we are still over here in California wondering, what the next lockdown is going to be, what the next change is going to be, where we're in such limbo, what's allowed, what's not allowed. Do you have coronavirus? Do you not have coronavirus? As soon as you feel anything that you're just like, you start wondering. And the media, whoever is propagating the fear of the coronavirus is doing a really good job, because I'm like, this is stupid. It's small. It's nothing. It's whatever. And this weekend we had a little bit of a bout of Tammy and Bailey weren't feeling real great. And then I started not feeling real good. And all of us were like, uh-oh, we got corona. Like, that's it. And I think we're out of the woods. We're actually, long story short, not that you guys necessarily need the details, but one of us is going to get tested. Not all of us, because we don't qualify to get tested, which is, again, something that people are talking about. Well, you need more testing. We need to test more people, which is giving more cases. But you have to qualify for a test, which means you have to have something that is close enough to say, hey, that could be COVID. We need to test you. Anyway, so one of us is getting tested, and we're going to get through that, which has been a really weird, like, strange thing, because you don't feel like, if we have it, which, again, I don't think we do, but you always wonder. You think, well, maybe we do. What was that? Did I have a fever? Like, we got to a couple of times to 99.1 degrees, which isn't technically a fever, but you start wondering and you feel achy, and then your mental thing just goes, and you just get, you get to the point where you really start to get, like, depressed and defeated, that you're like, man, this really could screw things up. And not from the standpoint of, like, for us, it's nothing like, I feel like I'm going to die because I got coronavirus, because that's what's being said. You get coronavirus, you're dead, basically, is what a lot of people are saying about it, which is totally incorrect and isn't supported by any sort of data anywhere. But you have this feeling like, this is really bad because of all the things that are propagated. And because if you have it, you have to quarantine for some sort of time, for some period of time. That a lot of things is it 14 days? Is it 8 days? Is it 7 days? Is it until you test negative? I don't know. But we just a couple of weeks ago, we went on a road trip to just get out of town and spend a little time away from California, thinking it'll be better. We went probably the wrong direction. We went just east on the south side. So we went through Arizona and into New Mexico. And as soon as we drive across the New Mexico border, there's a big sign in digital letters that says all visitors must quarantine for 14 days. And I looked at that and I looked at Tammy and I'm like, well, that sounds about right. That's 2020 for you. It's crazy. The trip was fine. We ended up not getting to do the things we wanted to do in New Mexico. We did go to the Grand Canyon, which is amazing. If you've never been there, you should check it out. But things are in flux. Things are changing. Things are all over the place. And there's a ton of deceit out there. And there is a ton of anger and anxiety and frustration. And especially within the church, with a lot of the people that are leading churches are concerned, confused. They're feeling anxious. They're feeling anger. There's so much that's going on with all of this uncertainty and unknown and unrest. And that's one of the things that's really the main thing that I want to talk about here. Is there has been a report now that in Portland, if you've not paid attention, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, they're kind of like competing for literally the worst places during this pandemic and protest laden year. They're competing for the most insane location. And recently Portland has topped the charts, because they've decided that they're going to not only burn buildings and throw bombs and fight law enforcement, they're going to burn flags, pull down statues. And now they've actually burned a Bible. So, and Bibles, we don't know exactly what happened, but protesters Burn Bible, American flag as tensions rise in Portland. So this article, this article kind of outlines what happened. Luckily our friends at the Babylon Bee, they didn't leave us hanging. They filled us in here. They gave us the real scoop. So the Babylon Bee tells us right here, don't worry, false alarm. Those rioters were just burning the message. Because, you know, it's a little bit of levity to bring to a very, very dark and depressing and overwhelming season, that at least it wasn't the King James or the NIV or the NAS or the any, whatever. It's a joke, guys. It's a joke. And I hate that I have to say that, but you kind of do these days. Anyway, so they're burning flags. They've been burning flags across the country. They're burning flags and they burn Bibles in Oregon. And the thing that I find really interesting is this other article here that is on the Federalist, I think. It shows that as they turn to burning Bibles, Portland rioters show their true colors. This is supposed to be about police brutality. This is supposed to be about the George Floyd thing, yet it has turned into basically a deconstruction of the entire American way. And the really, really strange thing with all of this is this hasn't been covered in a lot of mainstream media. This has been covered on a few. I think Fox News carried like a segment of it. Nobody's gotten really detailed into it. And I think the reason is there's not a lot of actual evidence for it. There was a video that went out, that went viral, of somebody putting Bibles in a fire. And the tweet is right here in this article. The tweet is right here by Ian Miles Chong. Left-wing activists bring a stack of Bibles to burn in front of the Federalist Courthouse. And then if you click the link here, tweet is unavailable. It's been erased. It's been taken away. Now, maybe this was all a setup. Maybe it was all fake. Maybe they didn't actually burn Bibles in Portland. But if you're like me, it doesn't surprise you. It's not something that you're like, nah, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't seem like the character of what's happening. No, that totally sounds like the character of what's happening. It's mayhem, it's anger, it's frustration. It's a revolution in a way that is taking away a lot of the freedoms and the things that we as Americans and Christians a lot of times hold dear, that we hold in high value. The flag, one of the biggest things that we hold as symbolic in America, is being burned. Now there's all kinds of talk about that. You're defacing the flag if you wear it as swim trunks, or if you have it on plates or cups or hats or whatever. Yeah, that you could put it, you could look at it that way too. But if you're burning it in effigy, you're doing something to say, I'm destructing this, not I'm supporting this. It's just a different feel. So it's not the same thing. However, you start to bring the Bible into it, and people like myself start to think, yeah, we're going way too far with this. And by we, I mean the people in Portland. I am not a part of any of that, and there's no way I'm coming near that. We have a family wedding that's supposed to happen in Portland sometime later this year, and because of COVID, everything's restricted, so we can't go anyways. But it's something that I probably wasn't going to take part in necessarily anyways. So back to the point. What am I talking about here? So they're burning Bibles in Portland, allegedly. There's not enough evidence yet. However, the video went viral and now it's gone. So there's deception. They're saying it's mostly peaceful. I don't know. I don't necessarily really trust a lot of the media anyway, so I try and find out as much as possible. And you can go down all kinds of weird rabbit holes on the internet. But in specifically, when we look at this and we think, well, why would they burn the Bible? What about this book that if you actually read it, do you say, I want to burn this? Why would you want to burn it? It talks about love God, love your neighbor. It talks about creation. It talks about Jesus. It talks about, if you just look at the Proverbs, it's right living. It's a lot of just ethics. It's being a good human. And so the problem that they see with this, I as a Christian, of course, I believe the Bible. I believe in Jesus. And that is something that is very, very, it's foundational in my life and what I believe and where I'm headed and where my mindset is. And yet, when you read in scripture, especially when you hear Jesus talk, you kind of get an idea for why it is that people are wanting to burn the Bible. There's lots of outside reasons. I'm sure people could come up with, oh yes, they're burning the Bible because X, Y, Z. But if you actually look at scripture, which is where we're going to go here on Jesus and Coffee, because that's what we do. When you look at scripture, it's very obvious as to why people would want to burn the Bible. So we're gonna go here into Matthew. One of the things that I think, just kind of as a side note, as I'm looking at these people out here rioting and burning flags and all kinds of other things and pulling down statues, most of them are young. They're younger, college age, sometimes high school age kids. And you start to wonder, where did they get these ideas in their head? Where did they get this information from? How did they get deceived? A lot of times is what I think. Where did this deception come from? And the answer is, in my opinion, it's obvious. However, it's up for conversation. The deceit's from the enemy. They're being deceived by Satan through humans on some level. They're being deceived. So in this passage here in Matthew 24, which is something, so we've been studying a lot of Revelation, a lot of end times, and it's in this right now, feeling like we're in the midst of everything going on, and we're just like, we're right there. We're knocking on the end days door. It's really fascinating getting into that and kind of correlating things to today. But in this passage in Matthew 24, which is where Jesus is telling the disciples about the end times, they're asking, hey, give us the inside track. Let us know what's going on. How are we supposed to know when the end is? Give us the inside scoop, Jesus. And so here in Matthew 24, he breaks it down for them like this. So, that's John 15. So back it up. So Matthew 24. In verse 4, it starts here, and Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places." Now, we've talked about this verse recently because of all the stuff going on. But in this passage, it talks about you're going to be deceived. There are people that are coming to try and deceive you. Specifically, he's talking about the Antichrist coming to deceive, and he goes on to talk about the abomination of desolation in the temple, and he's saying, watch out for this, because that's kind of like the signal that says, hey, there's no stopping now. It's all downhill. But they are out to deceive you, and in this next verse, in John, where it talks about Jesus again, he's speaking again. He talks about the world just hates you. Like, the world's going to hate you. And he says in John 15, 18, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." You guys, there it is. It's because the world hates us. Yes, they're trying to deceive us. They're trying to give us information that's not true or partially true. They're trying to focus us on something where we can be controlled, and we can be told that potentially that this book isn't real, this book isn't true, this book isn't something that we should pay attention to, because they're trying to deceive us, and because Jesus says, they're going to hate you guys because they hate me. They hate the perfection. They hate the highlight that your humanity isn't perfect, that you can't have it all. And this life just is fleeting. And without a relationship with Jesus, and without the Bible, and without the things that we do as Christians and live that life, fulfillment is impossible. It can't happen. So, within that, how do we respond? How do we respond? Well, we know the world is going to try and deceive us. Satan's out there trying to get us. He's like a roaring lion, scripture says. He's ready to pounce, right? And the world's going to hate us. Well, in my opinion, and the way I look at it, my perspective is I just have to kind of accept it and say, well, I've got to keep living my life. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love people, and I'm going to stay right here. Yeah, this is what I think we need more of. I think we need more of this. So last night, I just had trouble sleeping because I've got ideas in my head, because I'm just moving and going, and And with all this end time study that we've been talking about, there's a debate between pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation, which is basically pre-wrath. And back and forth, you know, what does Scripture say? How does it say it? Where do you read? How do you discern? And there's a lot of talk about Thessalonians. So I thought, you know what? I can't sleep. It's like 1:30 in the morning. Let me just read Thessalonians and see if that puts me to sleep. Well, it didn't. But but it was a great book. I read through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. It's a book from Paul to the Thessalonians, basically saying, hey, you guys are doing an amazing job. You guys are loving one another. You're loving others. You're an amazing example. You're following our teaching. You guys are doing great. But there are people that are trying to deceive you. There's people that are out there telling you that the day of the Lord has already come and you missed it and you weren't real Christians. Like they're trying to deceive you. That's what's happening. And Paul says, look, you will know when the time is come. You will know when that time is, when it's here. It's not yet, but keep doing what you're doing. Keep loving each other. Keep following what we've told you. Keep reading your Bibles for us. They didn't have these when they had the letters and they had the teachings of Paul and the other disciples. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't lay down and give up. Keep going, but stay here. Stay in your Bible. Read the word. Talk about it. Share it. Get up, get your Jesus and coffee, and get on with your day. You guys, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have persecution. It still isn't, I don't think it's here yet. It's coming, though. I don't think it's going to stop. We have to come together. We have to encourage one another. And we have to know that if you read the last part of this book, we win. It's not easy. And for some of us, it will be much worse than for others. But we do win in the end. Jesus is victorious. That's why I choose to believe and follow. Is that the thing that I read in Scripture and the way that I experience life when I live it the way Jesus tells us to live it as best I can. I'm not perfect. I can't do it all the time. That's when I feel the most fulfilled. When I do this, when I'm talking with you guys, when I'm reading my Bible at 1:30 in the morning because I can't sleep, and it's fantastic that I feel like, this is great. I love this stuff. Man, the Thessalonians were awesome. This is what it's all about. You guys, it's not something that's overwhelming or difficult. It's something that we just have to do. It's repetition. It takes effort. You have to continually try, and you have to be willing to make mistakes, and you have to love people. And you have to look at people that are out there that are burning flags and burning Bibles and doing things that you disagree with, and you got to love them anyways, because that's what Jesus would do. He hung out with all the people that the Pharisees were like, you can't hang out with them. They're not good people. They're not good people. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm here for the sick. I'm here to hang out with everybody. I love you and I love them, but they're accepting me and you're not. So go figure. All right, guys, they're going to hate you, but that's okay. That's the hard part about being a Christian, is unfortunately it's not always sunshine and roses. But Jesus is there. The Bible is true. Hold on. Hold on and be ready. Stay in the word. Have your Jesus and coffee. All right, guys. We'll see you in the next episode. Have a great one. Thanks for checking out the Jesus and Coffee podcast. We're really excited that you're here with us. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this. And if you have any feedback you'd like to give us, leave us a review, as many stars as you like, but comment and give us an idea of what you're getting out of this or what you'd like to hear differently. Also, you can email us, jesusandcoffeeshow@gmail.com. You can get us there, or you can go to the website, jesusandcoffeeshow.com, and it takes you there. You can find all the episodes. You can find our YouTube channel. You can find all the things. We are really blessed to have you as part of our community. We want to get out there, talk about Jesus. We want to drink coffee and spread the gospel, as we're called to do in Matthew 28 as Christians. Thanks so much for being here. And this has been the Jesus and Coffee Show. I'm Todd Frazier. Drink up and be blessed.